This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, good morning, Bridges Church. Good to see you guys. Good to have you here. If you have your message notes, take those out, or the app, and if you have your Bibles, John chapter 5 today. And we're continuing our study through the book of John and just focusing on Jesus. And I don't think this happened first service, but second service for sure. We want to thank Luke for being here, so let's give Luke a hand. last service, he got out a little bit, but if you don't know Luke's story, hang on a second. If you don't know Luke's story, it's really great to know him and be about what God is doing in his life. For Luke, I remember the time we sat down, and I don't remember where we were. Were we here or somewhere? But Bojangles, we meet in Bojangles, but he came and sat down and says, I feel God's call to be a police officer, and he had led worship for us. He was driving trucks and car parts around, yeah, and so he was doing this with us, and we were just so excited for him, and even though we were sad to see him go, Carson's been out for a couple of weeks, so Luke came back, and he had this aha moment. It's like, it's time to be a police officer. He's doing that. So we're just glad he's here. So let's give him a hand again. Thank you, Luke, for being here. Appreciate that. Still part of the church, but just really just seeing God at work in his life. And I don't know if you've ever had an aha moment where you just felt like God was calling you to something new and amazing and just maybe an open door, something new in your life. And it's important to listen to those. An aha moment is just that moment of clarity, right? If you've ever had that for a moment of clarity where you just go, okay, I just sense that everything has come together. Everything makes sense. Everything has come together. And like the classic example of that is simply Isaac Newton. If you remember his story, sitting under a tree and the apple fell. And he had seen things like this happen all the time. But for a moment, he goes, why didn't it fall sideways? Why didn't it fall up? Why does it things fall down? And that's where physics has come from for those that had to take physics in school. But that whole idea was germinated that one moment, an aha moment of why gravity? What is gravity? Why does it happen? And it caused him to search the rest of his life of how do you figure this thing out? And what is God doing behind it? And another aha moment similar to that was these two boys in a small town in Ohio, and they were in their kitchen, and their dad brought them home a little toy, and he had it in his hands, and it was a piece of paper kind of wrapped around some bamboo wood, and it was wrapped with a rubber band. He let it go, and it flew around the room, and the Wright brothers that day decided that they had to figure out, how do you fly? How do you defy gravity? And for them, it was an aha moment, like, there is more, there's something I have to pursue, I have to chase after. And you probably had that too, for those of you who are married. When did the aha moment happen, when you like, that's the person? Like, was there a, hopefully you did have that time, right? Because you did say yes or whatever. If you had that moment like, yes, I know that's the person, and it was an aha moment, like, I've got to spend the rest of my time with this person, and maybe the rest of your time you tried to convince them to follow that aha moment, like, yeah, God called me to us. You know, we're supposed to be married, and then have to talk them into it. Maybe for you, it was a career. Maybe you were in school and something just clicked one day. Something just said, this is what I'm supposed to do. Maybe you became a teacher because of that, or you read a book and you get, based on this book, I'm supposed to do this. Or for some of you, you were just sitting around listening to music one day and you just love music, and for whatever reason, you had to go play and you had to pick up that instrument with a guitar or drums or a tuba or whatever it may have been. You go, I just have to do this. And it was an aha moment for you. It's like, I've got to pursue this. There's something that's inside of me that has to come out, and I have to express it. For some of you, it was when you were at some age, you go, I just feel that I'm supposed to be a parent one day. And you were so excited. And when you became a parent, you go, this is exactly. And you had this aha moment, like, this is from God. I can't wait to watch this child grow up, and I'm going to pour my life into them. And so many of us have had an aha moment where it just all makes sense. There's clarity, there is decision, there is a movement forward, and you don't always understand it. You don't know where it's going to take you, but at that moment, you have to decide, am I going to go this way or not? If you've been watching the news or if you follow around, you saw that Charles Stanley died this week, 90 years old. And thousands of people came yesterday to the church, and they walked through to view and to pay respects. And he told the story how at 12 years old, when he had had a very difficult childhood where his own father had died when he was just a few months old, when Charles was just a few months old, and his mom had married an alcoholic, and it was a really difficult situation. At 12, Charles Stanley felt called by Jesus. And then at 14, he gave his life to ministry. So I don't fully understand this, but I know that I'm going to preach the gospel. And he did for the rest of his life, right? 76 more years. And thousands of people have been impacted because at one moment he had an aha moment where he said to God, I will do this thing and I will follow this wherever you lead. And for us that know that call, you just go, okay, it made sense at that moment. I can tell you exactly where I was when I knew that Stacy was the person I was supposed to marry. I was driving through my hometown, I was visiting, and this REO Speedwagon song, I'm dating myself, okay, I can't fight this feeling anymore, came on. It was like, okay, I got to give into this, and I can tell you exactly where I was, and it's so sentimental, and I heard the song just a few weeks ago, like, oh yeah, that song, but I knew exactly where I was when I decided that, and I felt like God was calling us together. I know exactly where I was the day that I felt God call me to seminary. I can tell you where I was sitting. I can tell you what I felt. I can tell you what was said. And those moments bring moments of clarity. And one thing else I can remember during that time is I remember starting seminary, my very first class. And in that class, it was a very small class, just a few of us that were together, and that we were assigned this book called Experiencing God. And if you've ever taken this study, you kind of know this. And I was in this class, and I read this stuff, but it wasn't the book necessarily. It wasn't the work, but it was the passage of scripture that it focused on one day. And suddenly things just made sense to me. I got clarity on some stuff. And it just was this aha moment that has changed my life forever. And it's how I look at things, how I make decisions, how I approach life, how I approach problems and decisions. And so I want to take you to that same passage today. And I'm so excited because I feel like I can go back to that moment. And I didn't know what God was going to do from there, but I knew at that moment there was clarity about who Jesus is and how Jesus lived his life and what Jesus wants for us. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 5, verse 17 is where we are. To give you some background on this, we're going to backtrack a little bit. If you were here last week, you remember we talked about John chapter 5. Jesus walks into this place next to the temple called Bethesda, the house of grace. And there before him were all these people seeking healing. They were seeking grace. And he found one of them and he says to him, do you want to get healed? And the man gave him all kinds of excuses why he couldn't be. And so finally Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat and walk. And the man did, and he was carrying his mat away. And when he was carrying his mat away, the Pharisees came, the Jewish leaders who were all about rules. They came and they said, why are you carrying your mat? It's against the rules to carry your mat. You're breaking the law. And then the man said, well, Jesus, this man I didn't even know told me to do it. And so they confronted Jesus about this. They were more interested in the rules than they were about an aha moment that they missed. So I want to back up. We did this last week, 17 and 18, and then we're going to continue with the next passage for today. So they've confronted Jesus about this, and in verse 17, it says, in his defense, Jesus said to him, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. And for this reason, they tried all the more to kill Jesus. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And before we move on, I just want to kind of unpack that for a second. Basically, Jesus is saying, my Father. And the Jews got this. It was an aha moment for them. And they go, okay, this isn't just a teacher. This isn't just a guy kind of invading our space. This is a guy who's claiming equality with God. And you'll hear people today that said Jesus never said he was God. And you'd have to beg to differ with them because the Jews got it. These Pharisees got it. He is claiming to be God. He's equal with God. And they had an aha moment, but it was the exact opposite of what Jesus wanted them to see. They felt threatened, and they wouldn't move forward with him. But John records it so we will know this. And Jesus makes this statement. My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. Remember that. We're going to come back to that. It's a statement about who Jesus is, and it's a statement about how Jesus lived his life. Now, I'm going to read 19 through 30. I'm just going to go through. There's a lot to there. It's very dense. I'm going to just encourage you now that I can't cover it all in this time. Go home and read it with the lens of who is Jesus, and how did he live his life? Well, let's just read it now. Then it says, Jesus gave him this answer. Very truly, I tell you, just so you know, in Aramaic, it's amen, amen. We think amen means the end of a prayer, like I'm done. amen means this is the truth. And when they repeated it, they didn't have exclamation points. Jesus is saying, this is very important for you to understand. This is truth I'm telling you. Very truly, amen, amen, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. All may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly, amen, amen, I tell you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but is crossed over from death to life. Very truly, amen, amen. This is the truth I tell you. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this. For time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Before we move on, let's pray over this. Father God, I am trusting, as always, that your word is living and your word is active, and it pierces like a sword, and it pierces right down to who we are. So I pray that you'll speak through your words, and may I continue to decrease that Christ may increase. And I pray this in his name. Amen. In this passage, there's just so much to kind of unpack, but I just want to kind of share with you why this passage and what we're going to do with it. This year, our theme is Devoted 23. We're talking about being devoted to Christ, being devoted to his church and his mission, to really know Jesus, and by knowing him, to give our lives more fully to him, to understand who he is a little bit better, and then know how to live like him. And we're going to take time just to be devoted to his church. That's why we're doing a fun day next week, just to kind of get together between services, have some food, get to know people, get connect, but also connected to his mission, being out in the world. And all three of those are in this passage today, as we're going to talk about that a little bit more. And what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? And today I want to work through like five components, really, of how to know that. And it comes from experiencing God. I will go ahead and share that with you. It's not something I came up with on my own. I kind of adapted it for today. But if you're interested in following Jesus and knowing how he lived, there's some things in this that to me were revolutionary. There were some things today that just opened my eyes, that changed the way I do everything. And I am different because of this passage of scripture. So there's five things. Just kind of work through them a little bit at a time. And number one, and this is what Jesus is talking about from his example, from this passage. He said this, my Father is always at work. My Father is always at work. For some of you, that's like, of course he is. For me, this was revolutionary. For me, this was eye-opening. Jesus said in verse 17, my Father is always at his work to this very day. I'll tell you how I kind of grew up, and then maybe some of you can relate. I grew up, and I was never told this emphatically or implicitly, I just kind of knew this or thought this, is that Jesus did all these things 2,000 years ago, right? In the Bible, in the Old Testament, New Testament. And I saw God working there, but in my life, I didn't really see God at work. I just said, okay, he did that then. Now it's my job to take that and move forward. I just saw myself as having to do it. But I never thought about the fact that God is still at work. Now for some of you, this is like, of course he's at work. But for me, I didn't get this until later. I was a follower of Jesus. I could tell you the Bible. I could sing the songs. I could do all that. But really getting this idea that God is at work was revolutionary. He's at work yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He has a plan that's moving through history. And I'm a part of it. And you're a part of it. Even though we have small parts, he is working here. He is working at your work. He's working around you. He's working all over the world. God did not just sit back with a remote control and turn on the TV and go, I'm just going to watch now. I'm just going to watch and see what happens. Let him go after it. And when it's my time to come back, I'll come back and jump back in. But there's things happening now because God did not just sit back. He said, I'm still working today. One of the things I love to do is I love to ask people, how did you end up here? Like, what was that aha moment that brought you here? And I love Winston-Salem. I really do love Winston-Salem. But, I mean, what's the draw? I mean, why did you? Now, some of you, it's a job, but we're not the coast. We're not the ocean. We're not the mountains. How did you end up here? And I love these stories. I constantly hearing this story. God brought me here. How did you do that? Because God is working. And you'll tell me the story. This is how God is working, and I see him, and I notice what he's doing, and I love those kinds of stories because God's still working in people's lives. I love it in small group when we get together and go, what's your prayer request? Here's my prayer request, but let me tell you what God did this week. And people see him at work every day in their life, simple things, big things. God is at work in those areas. I love it when we see life change. I love life change because life change can't happen without God. I love the way God works. We started this after-school program, this place over there, and like we just, like, how do we get the kids to come to the after-school program? Well, Stacy, my wife, knew a couple of them. She invited them. Well, they went and invited other kids, and they invited other kids, and now we have 14, and we're about to get four more. We're like, what are we going to do with all these kids? How are we going to help these kids? Because we're spread out too far as it is now. But they just come back, and they're learning the Word of God, and they're telling us stories. One of the verses we're doing is Jeremiah 29:11. It's the theme verse. You know, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. His plans to prosper you and not to harm you. You know the verse. So what we were trying to teach them the verse, and they didn't understand the word prosper. So let me tell you what prosper means. You know, it means that you have enough and just a little bit more. You're not rich, but you're able to do what God's called you to do. So right before Easter, we did this little craft with them. It was kind of an understanding of Easter where we took crescent rolls, you put butter on them, you put cinnamon on it. It's like the tomb. You put a marshmallow inside, bake it, and then when you bake it, the marshmallow's gone, okay? So it's like the body from the tomb. I know it's simple, but they got the idea of Easter, and they got a snack, okay? So they did that, and we had a great time, and then this little girl, one of the girls came up, and she goes, I get it. I go, what? She goes, I'm prospering. I go, well, how are you prospering? She held up her little bag. She says, I had one of those, and now I have two more, so I'm prospering, okay? I get to take them home. And I thought that is so cool. They just see God at work. They're so little, and they're just seeing God at work. And we talk about, what do you do for a living? And they were talking, I want to do this, I want to do this. And they looked at me and go, what do you do? I go, I'm a pastor. They go, what? And I go, do I not look like a pastor? Do I not act like a pastor? I didn't quite get it, but they couldn't grasp it. I'm a pastor, so I'm going to have to work on my pastoring, I think, because they don't see it in me. But I could point to them, hey, I felt God say this to me, and I'm just following because God's at work, and they're getting it. For me, it was a wake-up call. I've been following Jesus for a while, and for whatever reason, I thought he did that over there. But now I understood he's always at work. God is always at work. He doesn't stop working. You may not sense that he's working. You may not see that he's working, but he is working, and don't lose heart. He is active in this world. He's changing people's lives today. He's working. That was revolutionary to me in the way that God works. Second point that's taken from this passage, Jesus said this, now the Father has me working. Now the Father has me working. Again, revolutionary to me. In verse 17, it says, I too am working. Jesus was working. That's what John recorded throughout his gospel. All John did was sit back and go, this is what Jesus did. He healed a man that was crippled for 38 years. He healed a man's son who was dead. He healed this group. He converted water into wine. Jesus says, I'm working. And maybe that's just so simple to you. Of course, you get it. But for me, it was kind of eye-opening. Okay, Jesus is working too. And the Trinity is something we'll understand when we see God face to face. For now, we wrestle with this. What does it mean, Father and Son? But they're working together. They're working together. And Jesus says, now it's my time to work. It's my time to work. I'm here to do God's work. And then number three, Jesus says this in so many words, I can do nothing on my own initiative. And again, this kind of rocked my world. I can do nothing on my own initiative. Verse 19, the first part says, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. For John the writer, I think this must have been an aha moment. Remember John chapter 1? How was everything created? Through the Son. The Son created everything. Everything was created by him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Remember that? And everything was created by him. And then Jesus comes along, this is his own words, and says, look, I can't do any of this on my own. I can do nothing. I can do nothing. Later on in John chapter 15, he says, you can do nothing apart from me. And this really bothered me. This bothered me because of ego, right? I had lived my life thinking, I've got to do. First of all, I got to figure out what I'm supposed to do with my life. As a young person, I thought it was my responsibility to discover what am I supposed to do with my life. And then I began to think, I've got to take care of it. I have to work to make it happen. I've got to make the decisions. I have to know these things. I have to control it. I don't know if anybody else grew up like me, but that's how I began to understand life. You have to make it happen. And what happens when we feel like we have to make it happen? Anxiety, worry, stress, uncertainty, sleepless nights, frustration, confusion. We have to make it happen is what most of us think. And then here comes Jesus along, the Son of God, who emptied himself, became a servant, right? Came into this world as a human being, and he says, I can do nothing by myself. And I began to wonder, why do I think that I can do anything without him? Why do I think that I have to control everything? Why do I think I have to make it happen because Jesus didn't? And if I'm going to follow Jesus, I got to understand that I can do nothing apart from him. I can't make it happen. I can't read other people well enough. I can't see into the future far enough to make decisions. It doesn't mean I just lay down and go to sleep, right? God's not saying that to us. He's just saying, I want you to realize of anything of importance, anything of infinite importance, you can't do it. My Son couldn't do it by himself. We work together. You're to do the same thing. I can do nothing. I can do nothing by myself. Again, when we get to John 15, he's going to say it to us. I can do nothing. Today, if you're holding on, if you're trying to control, if you're trying to make it happen, if you're trying to figure it out on your own, you will be frustrated. If you're trying to do it on your own, you will find failure and frustration. If you learn like Jesus did, then we'll begin to say, I cannot do it on my own. We'll begin starting every single day on our knees saying, God, I cannot do this thing. I need you. And that's when God shows up. Because that's what Jesus did. He simply said to his Father, I'm here to do your will. I'm going to trust you. So the question is, where are you with that? Where are you and how are you trying to do life? If you're trying to do it on your own, you're not living like Jesus. When you trust him to work through you, you are learning to do what he did. I can do nothing by myself. So how did he do it? We'll look at number four. Jesus said basically in words, I watch to see what my Father is doing. That's his secret to life. I thought this was revolutionary. I watch to see what my Father is doing. He can do only what he sees his Father doing is what verse 19 says. The Son of God, the Son of Man can only do what he sees his Father doing. Then verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. So this is Jesus' strategy for life. I'm dependent on the Father. So I'm going to look out there today and I'm going to go, where is he working? Where? Whose life? Where does he want me to go? Okay, I'm going to go there because that's where he is going. I'm just going to live my life with my spiritual eyes open and I'm going to go join him there. So he walks up to this pool of water. All these people are there. They all need help. Some of them are blind. Some of them can't get up. And there's one guy. Why him? Why that guy that he chose to heal? Why that guy he walked up and said, do you want to be healed? Because somehow he saw the Father there. When he was going through town one day and he's looking at all this crowd of people, there's one guy up in a tree, Zacchaeus, right? And Jesus calls out to him, today I'm eat with you. Why that guy? Because somehow Jesus saw, that's where my Father's working. That's where I'm supposed to go. That's where I'm supposed to have lunch. Wouldn't you like that? Jesus going, this is where you need to have lunch today. You need to go to Culver's, right? You need to go to Fratelli's, you know. I wish God would tell me to go to a certain restaurant. But there may be something he wants you to do there. Matthew, he passed his tax collecting booth every day. One day he said to Matthew, Levi, you're going to follow me. How did he know? He saw his father working there. He would pray. And in the morning he would wake up, okay, you 12. Got a bunch of people here. You 12 are going to be my followers. I prayed all night. You're the guys. You're the ones. He's around a crowd. They're all hungry. He faced crowds that were hungry all the time. That day, he said, I see my father working. Today, we're going to feed you. We're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. He just watched what his father was doing, and that's what he did. The father can do things that no one else can do. He can change lives. Only the father can do that through the Spirit, right? How do you know where God's working? That person's life just got changed. I see them. They are hurting. I need to be there. God can provide. We see him working. I heard a couple of stories even this week about people coming up and go, you know, this person came up to me and they prayed over me. They talked to me. I didn't even know them. They just came. How did they know? It's like because they could see the Father working and preparing. And you're supposed to be there. How about if you did this with your life? You walk into work tomorrow, if you work, you go, God, where are you working? Whose life? I got to do my work, understand that, but while I'm here, there's people here, who am I supposed to talk to? Who do you want me to impact? What if you went to your neighborhood and you go, okay, Father, where are you working here? Where do you want me to go in my neighborhood? Who do you want me to talk to? Which one of my grandkids do I need to spend special time with because you're working there, they're going through a tough time. I need to be there. God, what ministry you want me to do? I'm watching for you to call me there. I'm just looking with my eyes open. When you want me to see it, just open my eyes so I can see. That's how Jesus lived his life. Look where the Father's working. The Father's going to show me where to go. I'm just going to trust him. Until then, I just do what I'm supposed to be doing. I listen. I do what I'm supposed to be doing. But when something's going to be there, he's going to show me, and that's where I go. And that's what Jesus did. Number five, kind of it takes that one step forward. He says, I do what I see the Father doing. That's where I go. I see him there. That's where I go. I do what I see the Father is doing. Verse 19, the last part, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. I just copy him. How do you live your life? Just copy Jesus. He's copied the Father. You copy Jesus. Just do that. That's a strategy for life as a Christ follower. In verse 30, he says, for I do not seek, or I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. That's my job. Jesus, my job is to do what my Father wants me to do. I'm here to please him. Doesn't matter what other people think, no matter what they do, I'm here to please him. It's revolutionary. Again, it's changed the way I make decisions. It's changed the way I look at life. I don't get it right. I'm still learning. I'm still discovering. Aha moments doesn't mean you get it all at the moment. You just go, this is a new way of looking. Like, this is not a passage you go, I'm supposed to, like, do this. It's a passage that this is how I'm supposed to perceive the world. It's how I'm supposed to think about life. It means, how am I supposed to make decisions? And it's like Jesus did. For me, it was completely eye-opening. Again, so you may be here today going, yeah, I get all that. I've had that a while ago. That's awesome. Maybe you just need to be reminded of it. I know I do. For our life, I know exactly where we were when we were called here. I know exactly that aha moment when Stacy came home one day and she said the executive pastor at the church where she was the children's ministry person said, I don't want to tell you this, but there's a job opening in Roll Hall, North Carolina, which I had never heard of, and they're looking for a discipleship person, and they're looking for a children's person. I go, what are the odds of that happening? And like I had looked at other jobs, I'd interviewed at a place, and I just didn't sense God working there, but we could see God. We came here to check it out. We first got here, I remember we took a wrong turn, went through a part of Winston that I don't think I wanted to live in. We ended up in Rural Hall, and it was like, okay, God, I don't think so. You know, the stop, one town. We came from L.A. area, and then we came to a town with one stoplight. It was like, oh, my gosh, this is culture shock. And it was like, I don't think so, God. And then God kept reminding us, yes, there it is okay. There are Starbucks nearby. There is a mall. You'll be okay. You'll survive. You'll be okay. But we could see God at work here. And I remember exactly where we were and where I was when it was a sense of call to plant a church. And it was like, okay, God, I don't really want to plant a church. It's safer. It's easier not to move forward. But when you have that aha moment, you feel God moving you forward, you go, okay, I can either disobey or I can obey. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the future's going to hold, but I'm just going to move out. See, the Jews had an aha moment too. Here's Jesus right in front of them. The Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah. And they looked at him and said, no, we're more comfortable with our rules. Rules are easy to follow. I just do A, B, and C, and then I'm okay. It's a lot harder to go, okay, you're calling us to something new. And they refused it. Not only that, they just kind of rose up against Jesus and they were there to persecute him and eventually led to his death, which was part of God's ultimate plan, right? But it's so sad because here's a guy that just gets healed, and he's made well, and they saw the grace, and they go, nope. And then there's John who's writing this all down who goes, man, I don't fully understand this guy, but I'll follow him wherever he goes. And he had an aha moment. John does. And that's why he's recording this. No other gospel writer records what happens in John chapter 5. But for John, I believe it was an aha moment. Like, I'm starting to get him. He's bigger than what I thought. It's more complex than what I thought. But it's also simpler than I thought. You just do what Jesus did. I watch what God's doing. I know he's at work. I know he loves me. I know he has a plan. I just do what he does. And that's how you live. So wherever you are today with this kind of thing, and there's so much to unpack, I thought like there's 10 other ways to go at this passage. And you may read it and go, you're going to focus on a different aspect. That's okay. That's the living word of God. For me, it was just so clear. Focus on this part. This is what impacted me so many years ago. It changed my life, changed my perspective. And I hope that the word of God does the same for us today. So if you have an aha moment, first of all, is this from God? God, is this from you? Is this where I'm supposed to go? Is this what I'm supposed to do? Is this who I'm supposed to marry? Is this what you want me to do? Is this the person you want me to talk to at work? Is this the grandchild that I need to spend extra time with? Is this my neighbor that I need to take some food to or I just need to hang out with? Is this a client that needs me to broach something bigger than business and just say, I think I'm supposed to pray for you? Like at that moment, you're just going, I see God. And what am I going to do about it? Am I going to move forward? And am I going to step over this line? Because that's where God's working. And I want to join him there. That's what Jesus would do. So let's just pray over this and just say, God, take this perspective and change maybe the way we live. And maybe if you don't know Jesus, maybe this is a time to say, Jesus, I see that you're interesting and people think you're interesting, but I need you to open my eyes because I want to know, is this really true that you really are who you say you are? Let's pray. Father God, in this moment, we just trust in your word. We're relying on you and your Holy Spirit. And I pray for people today that may be searching for something and they need an aha moment. They don't know what direction to take. Whether it's school or a job or a family issue, a health issue they're dealing with, and they just need you to speak into their life. I pray that you'll make it very clear where you're working and where you want them to go and how you want them to approach it. May they be patient and at peace while they're waiting. I pray for those that are seeking you, maybe in a greater, deeper way. May they find you. And may they hear your voice. Open our eyes that we may see, Father, not only what we're to do, but who you are, and be overwhelmed by your glory. So, Father, I pray your blessings on each person here today. May we know you and know your will, and be like Jesus, and do everything we can to please you. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Today after the service, after communion, at the end of the service, there'll be a group up here to pray with you if you like prayer. If you need clarity on something, that's a great thing to come and ask for people to pray for you for. If you're like sensing God moving or you're not sure what's next or you know someone that you need to talk to but you're afraid or you're not sure what to say, pray about it. Seek him. Keep your eyes open. And they'll be up here after the service over here in the corner. At this point, we do communion together. It's a time to stop and just reflect on Jesus. And I want to use a quote from Charles Stanley, again, someone who impacted so many people for so long. And this is something he wrote a while ago. He says, "Have you been asking God what he is going to do? Like, you want clarity like every step of the way. God, what are you going to do? And he will never tell you. He'll tell you, like, this is the thing you need to know now, but he's not going to lay out everything because that takes away our faith. So very few people does he say, this is exactly what's going to happen every step of the way. He doesn't tell you what he's going to do. He does this. He reveals to you who he is. And at that moment, you realize that God is the provider when you move out. He's the one who takes care of you. He's a compassionate shepherd. He will reveal himself to you. Jesus revealed so much about himself in this passage. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man. The Son of God and the Son of Man. I mean, he's 100% God, 100% man. That's how he can relate to us, how he can accomplish things. It's why he could die for us. He revealed himself as one with authority. But in John 5, 24, something we read earlier, this is what he said about himself. "Very truly I tell you, amen, amen, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged but is crossed over from death to life." He says, I'm the life giver. Early in the passage, he said, I'm the judge. He's been given the authority to judge. He's both. I give life, but I've been called and given the authority to judge. He's judge and he's attorney at the same time. Judge and advocate. He says, this is what happens. I will judge you based on your belief and what I did on the cross. That's how I believe. I mean, that's how I judge, is based on your belief. But I'm the life giver. I give you life if you believe. And I stand before you as a judge, and everything is forgiven if you believe. If you believe, it's all forgiven. I'm the life giver. Today, when you eat the bread and you drink the juice representing Jesus Christ, know that you will one day cross over from death to life, just like he did. But life starts here on this earth and continues on. So what a privilege to know this Jesus revealed to us as the life giver, who judges but finds us innocent based on his blood shed for us. So let's pray. Father God, in this act of communion, we are living out what we believe, that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again to give us life. And that one day he will be there in front of us as a judge. And everything will be covered over by his blood. All of our sins, all of our trespasses will be gone, removed from us as far as the east is from the west. We'll be made spiritually as white as snow. And we are so grateful for that. Thank you for the fact that in Jesus Christ we have life. And we pray this in his name. Amen. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're welcome. You don't have to be a member of this church, but to come forward. There's table on either side and in the front as well. Just come and receive the elements when you're ready. Return to your seat and spend some time with Jesus.